Hello, and welcome to The Sound of Economics. Today we're here for a special edition of the Backstage series from the annual meetings of Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic think tank. I'm Rebecca Christie, speaking with Guntram Wolf, the director at Bruegel, right after his panel about priorities for the new EU leadership, featuring speakers like Lorenzo Bini-Smaghi, the chairman of the board of Société Générale, also European Parliament member Sven Giegold, and his colleague Danuta Hübner, also from the Parliament, and other wonderful speakers today. He, Guntram, also led us through a discussion of Bruegel's memos to the new incoming EU Commission leadership, and was part of a keynote from current outgoing Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström. So we've heard from a lot of very meaningful and influential speakers today about the priorities of our time. And Guntram, what were the most important new ideas and forward-looking thoughts that came out of today's discussions?
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for having me. And of course, this has been a fascinating debate today, where we have had a lot of different topics covered and a lot of different issues. So it's sort of difficult to distill it all into one. But let me perhaps say our memos are entitled Braver, Greener, Fairer. So we want to have an aspirational tone here also, really, and really set an agenda that is very much grounded in what European citizens want Europe to deliver on. European citizens in surveys say very clearly, you have to deliver on climate, you have to speak with one voice with our big global competitors, and you have to, of course, make sure that there's fair taxation and so on and so forth. So fairness is a very important topic as well. So all these three points are very strongly made, and I think many people quite endorse these views, including the European parliamentarians. I was, I have to say, a bit taken aback by the Danuta Hübner, the European parliamentarian from the EPP group, who was sort of worried about our capacity as institutions to deliver on these promises. And also Lorenzo Bini-Smaghi, the chairman of Société Générale, was saying, well, we shouldn't overpromise, really. We should be realistic and come forward with strong proposals, get the member states behind us, and then be able to deliver, but not just say, oh, we do capital markets union and don't get a capital markets union in the end. And so we had a lot of discussions really about this agenda setting. How can the Commission as an institution, this new political commission also, this new commission as a political institution, drive forward an agenda and really convince people around Europe to endorse it and to actually make progress? And I think the real question and test of the time will be to what extent we will be able to deliver really on all the, Brussels, Europe will be delivered on all the big hopes that citizens at the ballot, at the vote, have actually put in making their cross.
How did Sven Giegold respond to this idea that the institutions aren't necessarily working? He doesn't come from the same establishment party background as the EPP.
Yeah, Sven Giegold took a very different approach, of course. I mean, Sven was saying, well, look, let's not be so pessimistic. At the end of the day, voters want a green transformation. And here we go. The EPP president, incoming EPP president, Ursula von der Leyen, starts talking about a Green New Deal. So in the end, the vote actually has mattered and has had already an impact on actual policy proposals, at least.
Was there anything that surprised you on the trade front, especially regarding the trans-channel or transatlantic relationships?
Well, it was sort of fantastic that Cecilia Malmström titled her speech "A Truth About Trade," and then explicitly was referring that the Earth is not flat, but actually not flat at all, but that denying the fact that it's round, it's actually not leading anywhere. And I couldn't help thinking that was of course an allusion to some of Mr. Trump's statements that are very sort of mercantilistic and sort of suggesting an export is good, it's an income, an import is bad because it's paying. I mean, that's just not true, and it's just a stupid idea. But it is an idea that is actually official policy in the United States of America and creates a lot of headaches for policymakers here, but also in Asia. Having said that, I think what was also very clear, and there I pushed Cecilia a little bit, Cecilia Malmström a little bit on, trade does have social consequences. Trade has to be done in a way that it doesn't lead to negative climate, environmental impact. And all of these issues, trade has to be done in a fair way, also vis-a-vis China. So trade defense instruments are very important. And all of these issues are things I think the Commission is working on. Cecilia Malmström has made some progress, but I'm sure this will be continue to be the big topics for the new Commission as well. How can we make our trading regime in the future not benefit the few, but the many, make sure that it's green and doesn't deteriorate and destroy the Amazonas rainforest, and is in the end fair also for our companies relative to companies in China that may get subsidized.
If you could make one decision in advance for the incoming trade regime, is there one thing that you would do because you think that it's it would set things on a new course, or you think that it's just a thing that needs to be done and get out of the way? It doesn't have to be realistic, just hypothetically.
Well, I think the one thing that I think will be absolutely important is the border carbon adjustment question. I mean, if we do a serious climate policy in Europe with a serious CO2 price, which I think we should be doing, then we only can do it if we do a border carbon adjustment so that companies outside of Europe basically don't benefit from not having to pay this when entering our market. So we have to make sure that a carbon tax here doesn't just shift production from Europe to the rest of the world. It needs to be a tax that is fair and also applies to foreign companies. And doing that is theoretically, I think, pretty uncontested. Where it becomes very complicated is the practicalities and how to do it. And that's a major technical endeavor. And I don't think anybody really has a full solution for that.
Let's talk about the economy and financial market issues. You mentioned Capital Markets Union. What do you think should be the next steps on that? Was there anything you heard today that you think will be driving the decisions? And more broadly, were people optimistic about the economy, or do they think we're headed for a new recession?
Well, nobody really raised the prospect of a recession. I mean, I certainly think there's a risk out there personally, and I just published a little opinion piece in a couple of European papers in which I make that point very strongly and essentially say we need to move to fiscal insurance to the recession, because monetary policy as a line of defense for the next downturn is just not really there anymore. I mean, it's very limited in its capacity. So the instrument that can be activated and needs to be activated is more activist fiscal policy. And I think we need to go in that direction. We haven't discussed that much today, but I certainly do think the recession word is one that is very much sort of floating around. You see it in Google Trends, actually. So I think it's certainly a big issue to look at, and we need to move to fiscal insurance against these risks.
The Bruegel annual meetings are an opportunity for policymakers across all of these disciplines, particularly with an economic focus, but also societal and, as you point out, environmental, which is very cross-cutting focus. Everyone gets together in one place and talks about the big ideas. What are people missing by not being here in person, and what would you like them to take away from the things that come out of these events? What are the big ideas that you get from being part of this?
Well, first of all, I would say a lot of people can watch online, and you know, everything's transparent and can be downloaded from our webpage. But of course, a lot of interesting chats and discussions happen in the coffee break, which is not live streamed. So next time, if you haven't joined, if you were not one of the several hundreds that have joined us, please join us for informal discussions, because in the end, Europe is also a project where people come together and discuss, and I think we really want to also be a place, a platform for a variety of views where people really come together and share their views.
Thanks so much for that. Thanks to you, our listeners, for catching up with the Bruegel meetings through this podcast. Guntram, if they were going to watch one session from the meeting so far, which one do you think it should be and why?
I'm not going to answer that question.
They're all your favorite children. Thank you so much for being with us, Guntram Wolf, director of Bruegel, and thank you for listening to The Sound of Economics, part of Bruegel's podcast program. Our website is bruegel.org. Bye-bye.